Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning as we begin the week of Thanksgiving. I wanted to read to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 8. It is titled David's Song of Thanks. He writes these words, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth." Well, this is a special time of year as we prepare for Thanksgiving on Thursday, and really it's grown. This holiday has grown. As I was telling my granddaughter yesterday, she said she calls me Gigi. All my grandkids call me Gigi. I was supposed to be Poppy. Debbie was supposed to be Gigi, but they got my first granddaughter Emmy got it flipped. So I'm Gigi, and Debbie's Poppy, and now little Jack can't say Poppy very well, so he calls Debbie Pa. Anyway, I was talking to my granddaughter, Lyndon, and I said, "Lyndon, are you going to school this week?" And she said, "No, Gigi, we're out all week." And I said, "You know, when I was in school, we would go Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we would be out Thursday and Friday. But things have changed from all those many years ago, and so now the kids are out, many of them out all week." So this is Thanksgiving week as we think about it, and I realize that people are setting up for Christmas, lights are out, and all the decorations are out at the stores, and everybody's focused on Christmas, but we want to focus on Thanksgiving. Yesterday at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, we have started a tradition that the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we have the Lord's Supper, and we focus in on the cross. And I know churches do it differently as it relates to the Lord's table. At First Baptist Texarkana, whenever we do a Lord's Supper service, that's the whole service. We focus in all the songs, all the emphasis, the sermon is on the Lord's table. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we focused in on the cross yesterday as we prepared our hearts for the Lord's table and the bread and the juice. And I talked from Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is really the gospel according to David. I remember when I was a student at the University of Texas, and I was a young Christian. I became a Christian toward the end of my senior year in high school. And then I went off to college in August at the University of Texas in Austin. And you know how many high school kids, when they go off to college, Christian high school kids, they go off to college and then they wash out. They get away from the Lord. And nobody loses his salvation. If you're really saved, you stay saved. But many kids don't deepen their relationship with the Lord in college. They tend to go nuts in college and sow wild oats and all those things. Well, I didn't do that. I grew in my relationship with Jesus. And one of the things I remember very distinctly is before I would study, you know, you have to learn how to study. When you're in college, that's kind of like a job. So you go to class and at night you study. And I lived with two engineers, so I did a good job in developing study habits because those guys studied all the time. But I remember my ritual would be I would eat dinner, then I'd go to the library, bring all my books, whatever I was going to be preparing for. But before I started studying for my classes, I would pull out the Bible, I would read the Bible, and I would study the Bible and pray and ask God to bless my study time. Well, one night, I was reading Psalm 22. Now, I had everything was new to me because I was a baby Christian. Anything in the Old Testament, I didn't have any concept of much at all of the Old Testament. I mean, I saw the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, but I was learning all this stuff. And I knew from growing up Catholic, I knew about Jesus. I knew about, accounts in his life. I knew about the cross. I knew about the empty tomb. Those weren't new concepts to me, but I didn't know much about the Old Testament. And in the book of Psalms, as I was reading Psalms to me was just, that's encouragement, that's praise, that's to help you, you know, just face another day and trust God and that kind of thing. Well, I'm reading Psalm 22, and all of a sudden, Psalm 22, I'm confronted with the fact that this psalm from David is speaking about the cross of Jesus Christ. It was Charles Spurgeon who titled Psalm 22 as the Psalm of the Cross, because as you read Psalm 22, you find out that that's what it's about. It's a prophecy, and that's what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 about David. We know that David was the shepherd who became the king, but Peter calls him a prophet. And Psalm 22 is a prophecy of Jesus on the cross. And it's undeniable that that is what it's talking about. Now, David lived in the thousands B.C. People put David's time, 1035 B.C. to 970 B.C., somewhere right around in there. And so he lives 1,000 years before Christ comes on the scene. And in Psalm 22, he talks about Jesus. Jesus quotes from Psalm 22. The Gospels are filled with quotations and references to Psalm 22 because Psalm 22 focuses in on the cross. And it's a first-person account of being on the cross. And what is amazing is Psalm 22, the cross, the Psalm of the Cross, was written 500 years before crucifixion was ever even invented. And crucifixion came into being around 500 B.C. And so David talks about it before it was ever invented, hundreds of years before anyone knew anything about it. Well, the psalm starts off this way, very familiar. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Well, that should get your attention just right off the bat, Psalm 22, verse 1, because that's what Jesus cried out from the cross at 3 p.m. See, Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. on Friday, and he died around 3 p.m., a little after 3 p.m. on Friday. He was on the cross for 6 hours. Now, the first 3 hours, we have a record of what he said. We have the very famous seven words from the cross, not individual words, but phrases, things that he said and people that he talked to on the cross. The first word on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said in those first 3 hours, he says to the thief, the first of all, both thieves were joining in the chorus of condemning him and mocking him and laughing at him. But then one thief is convicted, and he says to his buddy, you know, Jesus was crucified between two thieves, and so we don't know which one, on the right or on the left, trusted Christ, but we know that one of them did. So let's just say, for sake of arguments, the thief on the Lord's right, he starts talking to his fellow thief on the other side of the Lord, and he says, hey, don't you fear God? I mean, we're getting ready to die, and we are justly facing the punishment for our sins. I mean, this is what we did. It's right that we should be crucified for what we did, for the insurrection that we led. He said, but this guy in the middle, he's done nothing wrong. And he was convicted in his heart, and he realized that he was a sinner, and he asked the Lord, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus spoke to him, and he said, truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. That was his second word from the cross. And then he said to John and to Mary, he said, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. And then darkness covered the land from the noon till 3. Nobody spoke. There are no words spoken. And the wrath of God is falling on the Son. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus said with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, as it says in the Aramaic. And that's recorded in Matthew and in Mark. Well, it's a direct quote from Psalm 22, verse 1. It would direct the people to Psalm 22. Hey, this psalm is about me, and it's about my suffering. Now, you ask the question, well, Jesus, why did he ask why? Why have you forsaken me is the question. I mean, here is the sinless Son of God, and he has had fellowship with the Father from eternity past. Yet at 3 o'clock on Friday, April 3rd, 33 A.D., if you go by the dates that Dr. Harold Honer came up with, he cries out, I'm abandoned. I'm forsaken. I'm deserted. My Father has turned his back on me. That was the hell of hells for Jesus. That was what he sweat drops of blood in the garden. That's what he prayed three times. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't the excruciating pain of the cross as much as it was the separation from his Father, losing that fellowship. See, because when Jesus bore the sin of the whole world, the Father had to turn away from him, because God can't have fellowship with sin. God dwells in unapproachable light. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13 says, your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. And so, if there was ever a time where the Father wanted to overlook sin, it was when that sin was on his Son, when Jesus was bearing the sin of the whole world. But he wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it. His holiness does not allow him to do that. And the Lord cried out, the Lord Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God has to forsake sin. He can't have fellowship with sin, even when that sin is in his Son. And see, when Jesus was on the cross crying that declaration and asking that question, groaning out that question, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was because Jesus at that moment was facing the fate that all sinners will face. All those who reject Christ, all those who neglect Christ, that's what you're going to face. He took our place. He died in our place. He's the substitute for us. We deserve to be on the cross. You know, in the trial of Jesus, Pilate tried to release him, if you remember the story. And he said, okay, we have a custom. I'll release a prisoner for you. And he said, who do you want me to release for you, Jesus or Barabbas? Now, Barabbas was an insurrectionist and a murderer. He was part of the group, the two thieves on either side of Jesus. Barabbas was part of that deal. But the chief priests, the religious leaders, got the crowd to say, not this man, but Barabbas. And they released Barabbas. Now, the interesting thing about Barabbas, he deserved to go to the cross. Jesus didn't deserve to go to the cross. He's the sinless Son of God. But Barabbas, his name means Bar Abba, son of the Father. And Jesus took his place. The Son of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, took the place of a man named the Son of the Father. And the message that's in that tidbit for you and me is this. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus and you give him your heart and life, you put your faith where God put your sins on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Son of the Father dies in your place, and you can become a son of the Father, a daughter of the Father, a child of the King. It's the great transaction. So he was forsaken in order that you would never have to be forsaken. He was abandoned so you would never have to be abandoned. Hey, we give thanks to the Lord for his great grace, for his mercy, for dying on the cross for us, for suffering abandonment and the hell of hells, being separated from God. He did that for you and for me. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're looking at Psalm 22 as we come before the Lord with a heart of thanksgiving. We'll be right back.
If If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Think how different your life would be if you really believed that you, little old you, were a person whom Jesus loves. You let that settle in your heart and it blows you away every time you think about it. Wow.
Discover how to have a life that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Over time, every marriage can fall into some ruts and routines. But what if you could establish healthy rhythms with your spouse? Next time on Focus on the Family, how adventure, serving one another, and speaking life to your spouse will help you grow closer together and to God. Learn more on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
A teacher who can control a class without being oppressive or mean is almost always loved by her students.
With today's Dr. Dobson Minute, here's Dr. James Dobson.
One reason is that there is clearly safety in order. Children, especially elementary kids, can be vicious with one another, and they feel good about having a strong teacher who's in charge. Second, children love justice. They admire the teacher who can enforce an equitable legal system. Third, children admire stricter teachers because chaos is nerve-wracking. Screaming and hitting and wiggling are fun for about 10 minutes, then the confusion begins to get tiresome and irritating. When you look at the secret of success behind a championship football team, a magnificent orchestra, or a successful business, one of the principal ingredients is invariably firm discipline.
For more information on this topic, visit drdobsonminute.org.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about Thanksgiving today as we prepare our hearts for Thursday, the big Thanksgiving day. But it's really Thanksgiving week as schools, many schools are out. And as I mentioned, We always focus the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We focus in on the cross. We celebrate the Lord's Supper as a church, and we just talk about what Jesus did for us. We proclaim his death, 1 Corinthians 11. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim his death until he comes. And so we lifted up the cross yesterday, and we looked at Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the Cross. Now, I ran across this quote. I thought it was very, very interesting from Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest, that guy, Oswald Chambers. He said this, "All heaven is interested in the cross of Christ. All hell is terribly afraid of it, while men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning." How sad. Very, very tragic statement, but a very true statement. Men just ignore its meaning. And listen, for Christians, we can get calloused to Calvary. We've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it, and it doesn't sink in, and it doesn't move us like it should. I love the quote I heard years and years ago from Matt Carter, who was the pastor at Austin Stone. He said when they would hire somebody to the staff, other people would do the interviewing. He said, I'm not very good at interviewing. He said, but I always have just one question of the potential person that we were getting ready to hire. When is the last time that the cross moved you to tears? And I just loved that question, because the cross should move us to tears. We don't ever want to get to the place where the cross is just ho-hum. And so I just encourage you to take some time today, read Psalm 22, and see again what Jesus went through when he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. My God, why have you forsaken me? As the psalm begins, far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted in you, delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Now watch this. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. And he goes on to say, "Do be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint." Do you remember in the Passion of the Christ? There's a scene in the Passion of the Christ where they're stretching the arms of Jesus out to get them in the hole so that those spikes can go in. And they pull and pull and pull his arms, and then you just see his arm give way. It's just pulled out of joint. Well, he says that all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, like a broken piece of dried up pottery. And my tongue cleaves to my jaws. We know that one of the things that Jesus said before he died was, I thirst. So he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. And Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And so I thirst. My tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Well, all of us who know the New Testament story of the crucifixion of Jesus, we know that he was pierced. His hands and his feet were pierced. We know that they divided his garments. We know that they laughed at him and they mocked him. And they said exactly what the psalmist said they were going to say, what David said they were going to say. They sneer at him. They separate with the lip. They wag the head. They stick their tongue out at him. And they laugh at him. Commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Hey, he was despised and rejected by the people. They considered him a reproach, somebody vile, somebody wicked. And, you know, here's the strange irony in all of this. The Jews had been waiting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for their Messiah to come. Literally over 1,000 years, roughly 2,000 years from, or longer than that, from the time that the gospel was first preached. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, called the first gospel, the Proto-Evangelion, to get real technical. But it's the first gospel, and it was preached in the Garden of Eden after the fall of man. And this is what the Lord said to Satan, to the serpent. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. A big stop should be right there. Her seed, she doesn't have a seed. A man has a seed, a woman has an egg. But it's between your seed and her seed. We know that Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born of the seed of a woman, which speaks of his virgin, miraculous virgin birth. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Genesis 3:15 is called the first gospel. And so the Jews had been waiting for this one, this seed of the woman, who's going to crush the devil's head. And when he comes on the scene, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the long-awaited Messiah. As Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What do they say about God in the flesh? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, John said, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What do these religious leaders who have studied and studied and studied the Old Testament, what do they say about God's Messiah? You are a Samaritan, and you have a demon, and you cast out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. They couldn't get it more wrong. Here is God in the flesh, and they said to him, we believe you are the devil in the flesh. Why did they hate Jesus? Well, it says, Jesus said in John chapter 15, they hated me without a cause. He is love. He is light. He is the Savior. He wants to save them. He'll save anybody who comes to him in repentance and faith. He gives out the invitation, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And they rejected him. They despised him. They hated him. They beat him so badly. You know, Jesus was, he was accosted at his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, betrayed by Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him with a kiss. I mean, it's not enough for Judas just to betray Jesus. Satan had entered Judas, John 13, and the hatred and the pain that he was trying to inflict through Judas and through others that he was working through, Satan was just off the charts. So it's not just, I'm going to betray you. I'm going to betray you with a kiss. And Jesus said, Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? He wants to take the knife, stick it in his back, and twist it. So they rejected him. They beat him, and they beat him there in the garden. And they took him to the house of the high priest, to Caiaphas and Annas, their compound, the compound of the high priest. And what did they do? They beat him with their fists. They blindfolded him and beat him and spit in his face. And they would say, prophesy, who hit you? He knew everyone who hit him. He's the God who knows all things. They take him to Pilate. What does Pilate do? Pilate has him scourged. The soldiers make fun of him. The soldiers beat him. Here's what the scripture says about the Messiah, Isaiah 52, verse 14. It is true that many were shocked when they saw him. He was beaten so badly that he no longer looked like a man. He no longer looked human. You know, Mel Gibson in The Passion of the Christ did a great job of showing how much Jesus suffered, but even he didn't go far enough. I don't think our minds can comprehend how badly the Lord was beaten. Well, they would beat him. They mocked him. You know, the passage in Psalm 22, where they laugh at him and they said, hey, commit yourself to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver you. Let him rescue you because you said he delights in you. This is what's recorded in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 27, at the cross, it says, and those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. It's just straight out of Psalm 22. That's what they're doing. They're laughing. They're jeering. They're taunting him. And the pain, the emotional pain Jesus felt on the cross, the physical pain, but then the emotional pain, and then the spiritual pain being separated from his Father, it is beyond comprehension what the price that he paid for you and for me. Now, this is something interesting. As I was studying this, the question came to my mind as I was reading some things. What was the cause of Jesus' death? You know, at 3 p.m., Jesus says those words. He cries out, Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he cries out, I thirst. And then he cries out, it is finished. Not I am finished, but it is finished. Paid in full is it's a marketplace word, meaning that he paid the price for the sins of the whole world. He drank every last drop of that bitter cup as he prayed in the garden, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Well, he had to drink that cup. If he didn't drink the cup, you couldn't be saved. I couldn't be saved. You know, they said, come down from the cross and we'll believe in you. But if he had come down from the cross, there would be nothing for us to believe in. He had to die on the cross for our sins. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, the resurrected Christ to the two men on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and another unnamed disciple. O foolish men and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory? It was necessary, because if he doesn't die for you and me, if he's not forsaken of the Father, then you and I will be forsaken from of the Father. Then we will die in our sins. Then there is no salvation. There is no bridge to get to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. But you ask this, you ask yourself the question, well, how did he die? Did he die by crucifixion? Well, you don't die in 6 hours on the cross. Remember, they told Pilate that Jesus was dead, and he was surprised, because you would last for many, many hours on the cross. That's why the cross was so brutal, so horrible, because you would just be in agony for hours and even days on the cross. The only way to stay alive on the cross, you have to keep pushing up on that spike that's in your feet to get a breath, because otherwise you're just collapsing your lungs. And you know, when you're just hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth, you can't breathe until you push up on your legs. That's why, to hasten death, they would break the legs of the crucified. They didn't break Jesus' legs, because he was already dead, but they broke the other two guys' legs. And once they break your legs, then you can't push off anymore, and then you suffocate and die. How did Jesus die? Well, he didn't die from that. He didn't die from, some say he died from a broken heart, which I think there's a lot of evidence for that, because when they stabbed him in the side and he took the spear in his side, the blood and water flowed, which reveals that his heart burst, and that seems to fit. He died of a broken heart. But really, I think you could make the case that Jesus, as he said in John 10:18, no man takes my life, I lay it down freely. He laid down his life. He said, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to pick it back up again. He, once he completed the mission, it is finished, paid in full, then he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As my father-in-law taught me, he was a preacher, a great preacher, for many, many years before he went to heaven, Jesus literally was saying, Spirit, you can go now. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his life. He said, it is finished. I have completed the task. And there was no other purpose for him to hang around. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we are up against the break. But when we come back, we'll be opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a short testimony where you want to give thanks and praise to the Lord, we're focusing in on the cross today from Psalm 22, the cross and the empty tomb. There's a wonderful story that I'm going to share from Psalm 22, verse 6, about I Am a Worm and Not a Man, about the scarlet worm. You're not going to want to miss that. So give me a call and let's talk. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
As the world changes in an era of crisis, families throughout America are experiencing instability, fear, and great loss. While many are searching for answers in places of desperation, the position and mission of the church has never been more clear. It's time for us to leave the buildings and saturate the streets with redemptive hope and the love of Jesus. Saturate USA is a movement of churches and believers across America, uniting as one to reach every home with the love of the gospel. At saturateusa.org, you and your church can join the movement by adopting a zip code and receiving free neighborhood maps and evangelistic materials, including Jesus Film DVDs with free online streaming. Simply mobilize your volunteers, assemble your saturation packs with free materials and your own church's information, and then send out teams to distribute to homes. Let's partner together and see every zip code in America adopted for Christ. Join the movement at saturateusa.org.
As the world is changing around us, the ministry of AFA is staying anchored in God. If the Lord has gifted you to be a giver, we ask that you remember AFA in your year-end giving. As a good steward, you know the tax advantages of year-end giving. There's a variety of options for giving, ranging from cash gifts to stock donation to real estate. Some of the more creative gifts have earlier tax deadlines, so why not contact a representative of the AFA Foundation today to discuss your year-end gift? They can help you set up your donation now and make it effective by the proper date. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Your support is key to our ministry in Jesus' name. Beat the rush by calling now, 800-326-4543, extension 345.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're giving thanks. Thanks for the cross as we look to Thanksgiving on Thursday in America, but every day is Thanksgiving for a Christian, and we should always remember, every single day, remember the cross, the price that Jesus paid to purchase our salvation. Now, one thing before we get to the phones, one thing I want to share with you. I ran across this in my studies. Such a cool illustration. Psalm 22, verse 6, as we've been looking at the Psalm of the Cross, the Psalm of David that speaks of the resurrection or the crucifixion of Jesus, and it ends in a note of praise, which alludes to his resurrection. But it says in verse 6, "But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." I'm a worm. Now you read that and say, I'm a worm. Okay, there's nothing more hideous and humbling than a worm. I mean, a worm is just the lowest of the low. And the Lord is likening himself to that. But it's interesting, that word for worm in the Hebrew that's used there is tolath or tola. It's written both ways. But that's an interesting word because it means worm, but it also means scarlet and crimson. And you ask yourself the question, well, good night, how do you have a word in Hebrew that can be translated worm and also can be translated scarlet or crimson? That doesn't seem to make sense. Well, there is a particular worm called the scarlet worm, the crimson worm, that the ancients would use for a scarlet dye. And they would, it's a grub worm, and they would take this grub worm, and when you would crush it and place it in hot water, it would produce a brilliant crimson or scarlet color, and it was used as an indelible or permanent color fast dye for the tabernacle curtains, the veil, and for the priestly garments. But there's more than just this being a worm that had this red dye. The mother, this scarlet worm, the mother, when the mother would be impregnated and have these eggs, she would climb up a piece of wood, mainly a particular type of tree, in order to lay her eggs. Then she would attach herself to the tree, building a hard red shell around her. And inside her crimson shell, she would lay her eggs and keep them under her body to protect them. The baby grubs are hatched, and then they feed on the mother's body for 3 days. During this time, a bright crimson-red fluid oozes from the mother. This red fluid stains the wood that she's attached to, and the baby grubs are covered, being permanently stained with this substance. The young are ready to leave the shell after 3 days. The mother, being still attached to the shell and to the tree, dies so that she can birth her family. And on day 4, the mother's tail pulls up to her head, making a heart-like shape, and she is no longer red. She has turned into a snow-white wax. And this snow-white body looks like a little piece of wool on the side of the tree. It begins to flake off and falls to the ground like snow. Now, Hebrews 1:18, come now, the Lord said, and let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, like tola, they shall be as wool. The Lord did that for us. He stained the tree of Calvary with his blood so that you and I could be washed whiter than snow. He became a worm. But I am a worm and not a man. He became a worm for you and for me so that we could become children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a Savior. As the song says, hallelujah, what a Savior. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have our good friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, same to you, Lee.
I'm glad to hear you make that last comment, because I have always said that Jesus was fully man and he was fully God. I know you believe that. And as a man, they could kill Jesus. But as a God, you cannot kill a true God. And Jesus had to will himself at some point to die. And when he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit, he willed himself to die. And they didn't kill the God part of Jesus. The Bible says he gave his life for us. And if they had killed him, they would have took his life. But he willed himself to die, so he gave his life for us. And there's a verse, I can't quote it perfectly, but I just remember, but it says under Moses that people were killed under the two or three witnesses. Mm-hmm. They were killed, and how much sore is the punishment going to be to those who count the blood of Jesus an unworthy thing? Mm-hmm. That's just saying when we stand before on Judgment Day, the Bible says God the Father judges no man, that he has commended all judgment unto the Son. We're going to have to stand in front of him knowing that he shared it like you, what you talked about today, that he went through all of that, and we basically said, I don't care. Mm. I didn't ask you to do it. And there is going to be no mercy on Judgment Day. The Bible says God is full of mercy and truth, but the mercy will be over when mm-hmm. we leave this life without Jesus. We will find no mercy.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true, Lee. So when he comes in flaming fire, he deals out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not know, who do not obey the gospel. As it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, it says, "And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." I shared with the church yesterday, that's the hell of hells. You know, when we think of hell being a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and it does, Revelation 20 tells us that. But the worst part of hell is not the torture of the fire, it's the torture of knowing that you're away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. What is hell? Hell is the absence of God's presence there. And now, God is omnipresent, so he's present everywhere, but you don't feel it, not one shred, not one iota in hell. And so Jesus suffered that on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He experienced the hell that every sinner who rejects Christ, who neglects Christ, will experience. And the cross is such a vast subject, but it's such a wonderful subject. And here's the wonderful thing about it. It's simple enough for a little child to understand it. And it's a deep ocean so that theologians can study it for lifetimes and still not plumb the depths of it. So I appreciate you, Lee. Thanks for calling in, my friend. We have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor. A lot of people might not believe this, but I've been trying to get the people to mention about the time that Jesus was beaten on that cross for 39 stripes. You know, Pastor, nobody's never mentioned that on American Family Radio. It's not even mentioned at all. And he was beaten. Those soldiers, they were drunk, and they didn't care about how many times they hit him. And he wasted his blood. He sacrificed his blood on that 39 stripes. You remember that time? And another time. I actually believe people can disagree with this, but I believe Jesus, when he hung on that cross, he went to hell for us. And so I'm not asking anyone else to believe that, but I believe that. And also...
Yeah, the Bible doesn't teach that. Yeah, the last thing he said was, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I believe that Jesus went to Hades, the place of the departed dead. But I don't think he went to hell, because he said it is finished. And so he said that it was finished on the cross. And so why would he go to hell for there to be more payment? No, he already paid the price on the cross. And so, I believe, Frank, that's a falsehood that, people have purported for centuries, but I don't believe that's true at all. I think that Jesus paid the price. He did go to the place called Sheol, the place of the dead. But Sheol has two compartments. It has paradise and it has Hades. Hades is like hell. Hades is like the county jail that holds all the lawbreakers until they stand trial, until they go to court before the Lord. And court is the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And then from there, you go to the state pen, so to speak. You go to the lake of fire. Hades and hell are very similar, but they are two distinct places. And so, yeah, I would disagree with you on that. But Jesus suffered. He suffered beyond our minds, whatever our minds can comprehend, when he died on the cross for our sins. But I appreciate you calling in, my friend, and God bless you on that. Daniel in Texas. Daniel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good evening. Good afternoon. Listen, you're the first person that did Psalms 20, like 22 like that, you know, and I really appreciate that. You know, I'm going to read it when I get home. And I read 23 and 51 almost every night, you know. But it's the first time somebody explained 22 for me, and I do appreciate that.
So, well, good.
No questions there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Daniel. I appreciate that. So something that Warren Wiersbe brings up, it's interesting. So Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24. Psalm 22 is the suffering servant. It's the Savior who lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 23 is the good shepherd, is the chief shepherd who leads his sheep. And then you have Psalm 24, which speaks of the returning king, and that is the great shepherd. I'm going off memory there. No, it's the great shepherd, Psalm 23. It's the chief shepherd who appears in Psalm 24, who is victorious and conquering. So we have the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and interesting how that works. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. Well, thanks, my brother. I appreciate you calling in. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I just wanted to have a prayer on the radio of thanks that we have a new administration and that maybe I could get my issue settled with Health and Human Services through CMS. They have, in California, they kidnapped my autistic son. He wasn't born autistic, but after the vaccines, he became substantially disabled, and the state's taking control of him. And the unlicensed group home where he's at, one of the caretakers there has fallen in love with my son. And he says, why are you trying to take him out of this home? Don't my feelings matter? And I have all this on video, and none of the authorities in California were willing to help me. It's racketeering. It's through the regional center. They have the chief general counsel is forbidden by law to also function as a director, and it's exactly what he is. He's director of human resources there. So I seek a prayer of thanksgiving for this incoming administration that maybe they can settle this, help me in California. It's a federal offense. 16 felonies, and nobody seems interested in helping me. But prayer that this stronghold would be smashed, because it's demonic what's occurred to my family.
I'm so sorry, Ron. Well, may the Lord bring deliverance, and he sees what's going on. He knows, he cares. And so we ask him for that that answer to prayer and deliverance here. And just as you keep trusting him, I think of Psalm 27, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And as David said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So may you see the goodness of the Lord in this situation, in Jesus' name. Well, we have Marty on the line. One last call. Marty from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, Jeff, thank you so much. And what you guys are talking about is amazing. And I'm in Luke 22 when Jesus is in the garden and he says he withdrew from them a stone's throw and knelt down and began to pray. And he said, Father, if you are willing, make this cup take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I think the thing that we missed, the beating was horrendous. There's not words to describe it.
Right.
But he would say, Father, I'm going to drink every sin. I am going to become sin. And we don't comprehend what that means, but yet it's how we're going to worship him forever. That
Amen.
He...
Amen. We're out of time, Marty, but you're exactly right. He took our sin upon himself, and he died in our place so that we could go free. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, be thankful, especially this day. That's all you have to live. Shine and share, and let the Lord use your life. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.